Dauber Coaches.
And I'm May from the podcast.
That was so much more energy than you've literally ever done that with, and it was deeply concerning.
I know, it was because you put so much energy into it that I was like, what if I match Zabra's energy? And I just think that I'm a lower energy person for a reason. I think we've learned that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't think we needed you to, like, test it for us to maybe... I think, like, based on just what you're wearing, we could have guessed that.
I'm wearing all black. It's a crop top, though. It's fun.
The crop top is fun, but it's the fact that it's all black and, like, a flannel.
Yeah.
So it's like a dark flannel. It's like it looks like what Avril Lavigne wore when she was 16 and moody.
Well, what's funny about you saying that is I'm wearing a pair of pants that I am planning on if it's not too hot, because we are seeing her in late August.
It'll be hot, yeah.
It will be hot, but like when you're a former goth teen, you can weather a lot for the aesthetic. And I'm wearing black pants that are like, I'll just show them to you, and then Sabra, you can confirm.
Okay.
The vibe. The vibe is there. They're like wide.
Those like are pockets. Extremely Avril pants.
Yeah, they have like this kind of pocket on the side.
Extremely let go era Avril pants.
Like massively. I could add a chain. It'd be crazy.
The goth can weather a lot of heat is the exact opposite of a hoe never gets cold.
Yes. Or actually, I think that they are sort of two sides to the same coin.
Yeah. You're right.
They're
right.
Sisters.
because
actually I have seen / worn outfits that would not be appropriate for the cold, like for the goth aesthetic. Like you would wear fishnets in the cold for sure.
Right. You gotta wear your like black leather skirt.
Yes.
No fleece tights.
No way. No, it would ruin the vibe.
It's all about the vibe. I wanna say today is, I believe, the 80th episode.
Damn.
What more can I say, Skater Boy fan cast?
I can't think of a reason to justify that, but I'm happy about it for sure.
The 17 people who listen to us read the Avril Lavigne subreddit. That's who's justifying this.
You're so right. You're so right. And honestly, it's a beautiful relationship.
The one person in Croatia that makes us the fourth most listened to music podcast in Croatia.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much. Wherever you are.
You're our favorite. Mm-hmm. We also love our, like, nearly half of our listenership that is from Germany, but we mostly love our one listener from Croatia.
Yeah.
So today, on this season finale of What More Can I Say, Skater Boy fan cast, not series finale, because...
No way. We are... It's eternal.
We have been cursed to do it forever. Although I can feel May was, like, all good with the baby and, like, yeah, because this was, like, her free time, taking time to do this. But now she has a job again. And yeah, I can see in her eyes that things are bad.
The light is just leaving my face.
The all black was not a goth aesthetic. It was mourning.
I'm in mourning for being employed. I'm sorry to everyone who's looking for a job and it's like shut down.
Yeah, literally. I'm actually going to pitch, this is such a side tangent, and I'm not expecting anybody to vote for this to be our next video, but for my comedy group that makes news comedy videos, I am going to pitch that there was a recent poll that came out that said that they studied, like, men and women age 18 to 35, unmarried, childless, on whether or not they want kids. And they found that men are more likely to want kids than women are, which goes against this, like, societal view that we have in a lot of, like, media and just, I think, something that people assume, which is that, like, all women, like, are desperately in need of a baby and, like, men are out here, like, trying to not have one. And that's not what this said, but I was like, well, I think that that makes perfect sense. I've said this a million times. Like, men don't have to do any of the hard part. They don't have to... Right. Grow a child. They don't have to birth it out of, they don't have to push it with their pelvic floor muscles out of right. their genitals.
Yeah.
And they don't have to feed it with their bodies.
Yeah, it's really different. If those were not part of the calculation.
Yeah.
Then, well, I
decided that it was still for me, but
right.
It would have been a lot easier.
I do wonder, and I think the answer is still no, but I do wonder sometimes is if I would want kids if I didn't have to do any of that, if I was the man.
Right.
I think the answer is probably still no, but I think that there could be an interesting news video about how... I think in part also the reason that women don't want kids is because we in America have made it really bad for women.
Yes. Yeah. I can certainly confirm that part.
Men, this was like a 10-year-old study, but men supposedly do better in their careers after they have kids. They get paid yep. more. They're more likely to be hired. Women do worse in their careers. Also mm-hmm. women, especially with the pandemic, have to do a lot more of the housework. Which then my mom was like, not in my marriage. One of the cats threw up on the couch and I'm just going to leave it for your dad to do. But that's an unusual situation.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Big thumbs down just across the board. I would say.
Yeah. So anyway, no matter how much May has to spend time on her job and her baby, this podcast is a second baby and she must also spend time on this, or else the earth demons will come for her. So
yeah. And you can tell I'm committed by the fact that I am here right now. Hell yeah.
Ready to discuss Avril Lavigne's interview moments.
There, look, I did one for you.
Thank you. I did it also because I thought there's a strong possibility you weren't going to do it, although I really felt like I was setting it up for you to do it. But then I got nervous.
You did. And very successfully.
I didn't trust the process, so that's on me, and I'm sorry. So today is an episode where we wanted to discuss Avril Lavigne's interview moments. We think that she gives hilariously terrible interviews. It's definitely not her strong suit. She should stick to music. I don't know why people make her do this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they make her do it, I assume, specifically for us because... And I wanted to do it more.
They were like, you know, 20 years from now, somebody's going to make a podcast and they're going to want as much video and audio of Avril Lavigne saying wild shit as possible.
It's true. There is sort of an interesting question to be had here of how valuable is it? Because, of course, this is like a marketing thing. You need to talk about your music to get people to listen to it a lot of the time.
Sure.
And it's important for your label. Like, your label makes you do all this stuff, unless you're a person who likes doing it. But do we need to be making artists do that if they aren't naturally inclined to do so?
I think that is an interesting question because I also don't think that I've ever, like, seen an interview of somebody and then been like, oh, I'll go listen to their music. 100% of the time, it is that I already listened to the music, and then I was like, oh, here's this interview, or here's this, like, genius video where they're breaking down the lyrics. I will now watch that because I've already listened to the song.
Yes.
So it's not Same. Pushing me to the music. I've already listened. You've already gotten your half a penny for my listen.
God.
I don't even think it's honestly that much.
Brutal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do really wonder, I get, like, for movies, I think that promoting movies absolutely is a way that I find out what movies I should be watching, but, right. like, music is different because there is no financial commitment to it. I already pay for Spotify, so the music is essentially free, and I already, it's so low time commitment. A song is 3 minutes, so, right. like, it's not like a movie where I really have to decide, do I want to spend $15 and 90 to 120 minutes of my life doing this? Like, a lot of times, a lot of the music I listen to, I have no idea what it is because Spotify just puts it on and then I listen to it because I was doing something else and I was not paying attention.
Yeah, I wonder if that was different before streaming because a lot of these interviews are before streaming.
Absolutely. I think that streaming changed it, but I don't... want to discredit, like, I was just watching a clip, and it wasn't that great, I don't think we need to talk about it, but it was Avril on the Kelly Clarkson show, and so here's what I'll say about the Kelly Clarkson show. I also know my top most listened to Spotify artist last year was Jordy. Jordy is not a known artist. I don't really know anyone who listens to him. My roommate who works in music was like, oh, I know two of his songs. He was recently like dropped by his label. Yeah.
Sorry, Jordy.
I know. Sorry, Jordy. If Jordy is listening to this, he's not. But I did tell my roommate to tell her company to rep him, and she did email someone about it.
Love it.
I'm like, sure that
grassroots shit is exactly what the podcast listener should be doing.
Yes.
Even like Maximum Fun or whatever. That's the only podcast network I can think of. Let them know.
That's not even one that I knew of. I was going to say like Stitcher. That's a podcast network.
There's another that's like women run and like specifically for like women, you know, women content, but I don't remember what it's called.
So it's just me talking about how I cried a lot.
Right.
Great.
I think that's perfect.
I think that's women's content.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
So what I'll say with Jordy going on the Kelly Clarkson show is one, it was because he had a song that went viral on TikTok right. because it was a play. So there's a song, Story of a Girl. He took that, made it Story of a Boy. And then people used those songs on TikTok to share their transitions if they were transgender. So that went very viral. It was very delightful. He went on the Kelly Clarkson show. And because he's a not really known artist, that I'm sure probably helped his career. Everyone knows Avril Lavigne.
You're right. Right. Certainly.
So I don't really know what we were like getting out of that. I guess maybe if someone just forgot about her and then was watching the Kelly Clarkson show one day and was like, wow, right. Forgot about Avril. Guess I'll listen to her again.
Give her a listen. Yeah. I guess you do need to also tell people who would not be paying attention otherwise that you have new music out and stuff.
Do you? I still feel like today the best way is just to make, like, if you can, I don't know if this is an option. Can you pay Spotify to, like, put it on people's daily playlists?
That's interesting. You have to be able to, right?
I don't know.
That feels like a huge missed opportunity for Spotify to make money. And I can't imagine that Spotify is passing up opportunities to make money.
I will ask my roommate if she happens to know. That's not exactly what she does in the music industry, but she might know. And that would, yeah, they should do that if they're not doing that. But also, if they are doing that, I will feel like I'm being lied to by Spotify. For them not telling me that.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know what the algorithm TM.
Right. Then I also need to know why every time they make me a pop punk playlist, they always put Sarah Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson on it. I know it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, stop. Stop doing that. Put them on a different playlist.
Right. Different time and place. That's clearly not the mood.
I want to listen to Sum 41. I don't want to listen to like Love Song again. Like, I get it. She doesn't want to write you a love song.
I didn't even ask her to do that. Like, I don't know why she's coming at me.
Yeah, why is she yelling at me?
I'm being screamed at. Maybe it is punk. She is screaming directly at me.
She is.
Actually, that is a pretty good segue into asking the question, what is punk? Which we can answer.
Oh, God.
Right
okay.
Now.
Okay. So we're pulling up a video. I had to literally ask Reddit, like, what is this video? And somebody responded that they think that it is Carolyn Mayo, aka Klein, a friend of Avril's, who was on tour with Avril, filmed a lot of footage from the Let Go tour for the My World DVD, and a lot of the ABC cam footage, including this video, were filmed by Klein. This footage was also used in the ABC documentary Avril did in for the Europe tour. We assume she leaked some of the stuff over the years off camera. So, the YouTube video is called Avril Lavigne Discusses Her Punk Rocker, and I'm just gonna read the transcript. So she says, I don't know what was supposed to get into this because there's clearly a cut in the video, but it says, you hate me and go, Avril makes me sick, she thinks she's punk, blah, blah, blah. And also, just so we're all aware, she's making, like, the most exaggerated faces when she's saying this. Like, she's trying so hard to communicate with her face.
It's great.
She thinks she's punk, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I never once ever called myself punk to anybody. Maybe I have an attitude and I have a lot more edge to myself than a lot of other artists out there do. And media sees that and takes that and calls it punk because what punk is Punk is a little delinquent. Punk is so much that you know right now that this moment I'm not gonna get into, but I'm not a punk rocker. I don't have punk music. Maybe I have some punk characteristics about me. Did I say that properly? Yeah. Yeah, maybe I have some punk characteristics about me, but I don't walk around calling myself punk. It's more punk to tell people you're not punk than to sit there and say that you are punk.
Yes. Let the words wash over you. Also, gang, everyone should watch this clip. It rules. It's so great. She has the strongest Canadian accent in the world. She's got the, like, most teenage energy I've ever seen. No one has ever been more of a teenager than Avril is in this clip. And she might actually be 20 in it, I don't know. But she's, like, the quintessential teen to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's got to be around 18 to 20, which is still a child. Yes. And it's just the moment that I cannot get over is when she says, what punk is a little delinquent. Punk is so much that, you know, right now that this moment I'm not gonna get into. Because clearly she has no idea.
It's true. And also she knows, like, she doesn't want to say anything that someone will be like, that's not true.
Yeah.
I'm more of a rock chick.
It's pop music, Bessie. You wrote pop music.
It's true.
And that's fine. Pop music is fun. It's short for popular for a reason. People like it.
Yeah. It's good.
It's more punk to tell people you're not punk than to sit there and say that you are punk.
And she also keeps hitting the word punk so hard. It's more punk to say that you're not punk.
And the interview actually continues. If you want to know what I think that I think that I'm just a rock chick, and I like to rock out. I like to throw around. I like to go nuts. I like to lose myself on stage.
I like to go nuts. And she says that more than once, if I recall. She's like, I like to go nuts. I like to go nuts.
I like to go nuts. I like to lose myself on stage. I like to scream. I like to holler.
Holler!
I like to break things.
She's gonna kick her little heels together with her little cowboy boots on and holler. Nothing more punk than that.
Who has ever used the word holler except for, like, 1940s cowboys?
Well, right, and she sounds so, like, I like to scream, I like to holler. And it's like, okay, damn, I guess you do like to holler. Also, someone on YouTube commented, me after buying a chain wallet at Hot Topic in 2005.
And to finish it out, she says, I like to break things. I like to yell. I like to get my anger out. And you know what? Everyone has their own opinion on everybody, but I'm not the one who went out there and called myself punk and skater. And so many people look at that and read that and think, oh my God, she's so fake. And I totally understand why, because if I saw Avril Lavigne's face everywhere and skater punk everywhere, I'd be like, she's so fake. She can't even skateboard. She's not punk. What are they talking about? I totally think that. So I understand where everybody comes from. But what everybody needs to understand is it's not me who did that. And that's why I'm going to sit here and ramble on, because I need people to understand. She's acknowledging that she's rambling, which I love for her. Because, wow, is this a ramble?
It is. And so Dennis Winters, boy, the YouTube comments are really good. Dennis Winters says, boy, I'm glad she cleared up what punk is. I've been confused since about the mid-70s.
Yes. I need people to understand that I'm going to have people through this DVD get to know who I really am and how messed up this business is and what it feels like to be in my shoes. And I'm going to go through and, I don't particularly like the image of me that's out there right now. It's too pop. Everything just blew up so fast. Do we need to get our hands on this DVD and watch it for an episode?
Yeah, I would love to. I would genuinely have a great time, I'm sure.
Avril Lavigne, My World DVD. Well, there's something on YouTube. Okay, we'll look into this after we record. But
someone
I think
writes, that was then. This is now. Avril Lavigne net worth. Avril Lavigne is a Canadian singer-songwriter who has a net worth of $50 million. Avril Lavigne was born September 27th, 1984 in Belleville, Canada. End of comment. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very helpful.
For that. Yep.
Okay, so that's that interview. Is there any more YouTube comments you want to read about it? Oh, I do actually just want to say before we move on, I can't get over her saying, I like to break things. I like to get my anger out. Bitch, what are you angry about? You have like a very nice Christian family and you love being Christians. That's not an issue. And you got fame at a very young age and everything's kind of great for you.
I can tell you exactly what she's angry about. Hmm. She's 18 and it's inherent to being 18 to be angry. You could have any life circumstance. You could be the most privileged 18-year-old on the planet. And frankly, the privileged 18-year-olds are often the angriest ones. What's up with that?
Are you speaking from experience?
I'm talking like the people I consider, like people who are privileged compared to me. So okay. Like the people who like have never met their parents because they were raised by an au pair in the south of France.
I would not have described myself as angry at 18. I would describe myself as emotional, but I would definitely not say it was angry.
Feeling a lot of feelings.
Yes.
I guess whatever way that it comes out for you, I guess I wasn't that angry, but definitely things were a huge deal to me that were not a big deal. People are arguing in the comments over whether she's high.
That's a great question. Do we think Avril Lavigne has smoked weed, does smoke weed, was smoking weed at this age?
Let's find out if the internet knows. Have you ever seen the weed smoking girlfriend's Tumblr post?
No.
If the audience, if you know, you know.
I don't know.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
You should look up the weed smoking girlfriend's Tumblr post. It's very good.
Weed smoking girlfriend's Tumblr post. My three girlfriends, and yes, they smoke weed.
Just awesome.
Yikes. I hate that, actually. Alrighty.
There are photos of her smoking weed. Yeah, she smokes.
Okay.
But this is recent, so I don't know if she did it back then.
Interesting. Well, good for her.
Someone posted it on a forum and wrote, "If someone tells me that the real Avril died and this is a clone, double, or an actress, this is the correct time to believe this because I can't recognize her at all. I'm really scared of her turning on addictions and I don't know what or how to think or feel right now." It's okay. She's... entering an Avril... Okay, these are unhinged.
Wait. No,
okay.
Go back to the person concerned about Avril being addicted to weed.
Yes.
First of all, while weed is in fact addictive, it was kind of a myth that it wasn't addictive. It's incredibly way, way, way less addictive than, for example, alcohol, which we all think is totally fine.
Correct.
It's like half of the rate of addiction for weed than alcohol. But also, she's saying, is this the real Avril or a clone or something? Like, is it fine if it's a clone to get addicted to weed, but not if it's the real Avril? That's insane.
Someone basically wrote like a similar thing that was like, I don't smoke or drink. I don't know why you're so upset about this.
Yeah. But also, I would get if it was just a comment about, I mean, I still wouldn't get it, but I'll like let it slide if it was just a comment of like, oh, don't smoke weed, you'll get addicted to it. It wouldn't be right, but like fine. But it's the fact that she's like, if this is a clone, then I don't care. But if it's the real Avril, we must save her at all costs. Like, you're fine with other people getting addicted to things?
Yeah, this is a very, very unhinged conversation. I'm not going to read all of it because I don't need to spread the idiocy of people on AvrilBandAids.wordpress.net/thread/4806, page 134 for anyone wondering. That's not going to change because I assume no one is commenting on this anymore.
I'm going to move on to the next interview, which was an MTV video called Avril Lavigne Answers 22 Questions for 2022. And I want to skip forward to where she's asked her favorite Blink-182 song, and she says, all of them, but one of them is All the Small Things. And that was a song I covered during my tour, one of my world tours. I know that, like, we say we're fake Avril fans all the time. Citing All the Small Things as your favorite Blink song screams fake fan to me. Screams you've never heard, you've never actually listened to a Blink album.
Yeah, it's like, because she covered it, she does have more credibility there. Like, it could be your favorite because you sing it live and you just love it. But it's very funny to be like, I'm so into Blink-182. Also, maybe genuinely you've heard their entire discography and All the Small Things is just still your number one.
Right.
But it is comical.
Yes, it was just like in the way that it came out, where she's like, all of them. And then she's like, because that's such a fake answer. And then to like pick the most known Blink song.
Yep. I have to join this forum. There's a meme board that I can't look at because I'm not a member.
What
Hold
is
on,
the
I gotta
website
join this
called?
forum. This is avrilbandaids.boards.net/forum.
I have a account on there, I think.
I mean, that makes sense, given our history.
Yes. Yeah, you can log in with this information.
Amazing. Ah, thank you.
What?
For a second, I thought your email was skate.
I wish it was Skate.
Yeah.
Just gonna keep reading this interview. Skater Boy is a super special song to me. I read about my high school experience, sort of like different groups and cliques and stuff, and I was obsessed with skaters and skater boys.
And she says that like, and skater boys.
Yeah. And what I think is important about that is just coming off the other interview where she's like, I'm not a skater, like that's just something that everyone else put on me, but I'm not a skater. And then like to claim that Skater Boy is about her own lived experience.
Yep. She does not know what her perspective is.
Yeah. Oh, I did see recently, I don't actually specifically remember what it was, but on Instagram, Avril posted herself like eating something. I don't remember what, but it was definitely meat. So she is in absolutely no way or shape or form a vegan. Just to go back to our Avril's Web of Lies, is she vegan episode? Just say definitely not.
Yeah, I was thinking that while I watched it too, and I was like, how did that information get out there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Very upsetting. The internet is lying to me constantly.
She's asked somebody that inspires her. She says, my brother, because he's a really hard worker and super intelligent and a really good person. Those are all just the most like vaguest ways
She's
of
never met him.
describing.
She's heard he's very cool.
And then she says, a food that I can't live without. And she laughs and says, is a banana. Duh. As if we're all supposed to know that she loves banana.
I was like, did they cut part of this interview out where she talks about bananas previously? Because this makes no sense. She's like, it's a banana, duh. Idiots.
It's also that she, the laugh makes it sound like she's lying or she's trying to make a joke of some sort, and we don't get the joke.
I was like, the only thing that I could possibly think of is if it was supposed to be a sex joke, but it's totally unclear. Like, if that's the case, you cannot tell.
No, yeah, like, because bananas are inherently sexual. It's the most sexual food. But you would have to have established, like, that's actually something I see a lot with stand-up is because people are told, like, word economy, like, get to the point faster, get to the joke faster, which is good advice, they end up cutting too much, and then they don't, like, they don't give any explanation in the, like, setup of the joke, so you don't, they assume that you're gonna get it, and then you don't get it because you haven't been
Yes.
told anything. So even with the banana, we as the audience need to be told that you think bananas are sexual if you're gonna laugh about it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
And then she's asked, have you ever been mistaken for somebody else? She says, nope. Who would I like to play me in a movie? Cara Delevingne, because we kind of have similar names and she's cool. But she's so clearly. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, she takes this crazy pause before she says names. And they do have similar last names, but it's clear, at least it's clear to us because we both independently thought this,
Yes.
that she was gonna say we look similar,
Yep.
but then she just didn't have the confidence to actually say that. Like she wasn't sure, will people disagree with me? And then I'll, or do we not look alike? Like it seems like she really loses confidence in the middle of saying it. She's like, because we have similar names.
Well, it's also just funny, actually, and I haven't even seen this, but there's a new season of Love is Blind, and I haven't seen it, but I've seen a lot of TikToks about it, where apparently a dude asked her in the pods while they're like can't see each other, like her celebrity lookalike maybe, and she says that she doesn't see this, but a lot of people tell her that she looks like Megan Fox, And so he thought that he was getting Megan Fox. And then she doesn't really, like, she just vaguely looks like her, but, like, not really. And this man is, like, so disappointed about it.
Oh, no.
I know. And, but, like, that's an extreme situation where maybe you are not supposed to tell people what you look like. That's kind of the point of the show. And, like, yeah, now there's debates on the internet of whether this woman does or does not look like Megan Fox. But Avril Lavigne, to say it in a silly little interview, you're allowed to say that you look like her, Adele Levine. Like, that's not crazy. Yeah. And you do kind of. Enough.
Right. You're the same general type.
Yeah. Because it's so, like, she says we, like, have the same, and then they put the picture up of Cara Delevingne, and right. So I look at the picture, and I was like, yeah, okay, they do kind of look alike, and then she's like, names, and I was like, wait, what?
I know, I had the exact same journey. It's, like, weird trickery.
It is.
There's also some people who, like, maybe you look like them when you make a certain face or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, that's even, like, my friend Brittany thinks that she and her mom look exactly the same. I don't really see it, which is partially because I have a silly white person brain and Brittany is a different race than her mother. But then I was hanging out with both of them and her mom made the exact same face that Brittany makes. And it was like freaky to see. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I see it now. You guys are identical.
I do. What's funny is I've seen pictures of her mom and there are some where I'm like, oh, they don't look like to me. And then there are some where I'm like, they are clones.
Yes. I've realized that I think I was lying when I said that Avril made an Instagram post. Maybe she did, and this is just separate, but in this interview, she says, my secret talent is that I'm a gourmet chef. I can cook anything and everything. I have a lot of fun making homemade pasta sauce and pasta, but I usually cook really healthy for myself, anywhere from fish to salads and veggies, but really, I make everything. She eats fish!
Yes.
She is not a vegan!
I don't know why so many lies were spread. Makes me sick. We're the only people who are honest on Bill Gates' internet. Now it's Mark Zuckerberg's internet. And Elon internet. Musk's. It's they're at war.
Oh, I wish Elon Musk would die. I didn't say that.
It's a joke in the comedy podcast, guys. We can say things like that we want Elon to be strapped to one of his own rockets and just blasted right off.
The issue is that Elon Musk doesn't know what a joke is. He thinks right, that true. Jokes are when you uh-huh. say something that is racist and right. then that is a joke because it was racism. I don't really understand.
He is saving free speech in this country. He's a free speech hero.
And see, he's not going to get that that's a... He thinks you're being right, serious, and that's right. the he's issue. Like,
thank you so much. You're right.
Elon Musk. Okay, moving on to the next interview. It's the classic interview we've talked about many a time. Avril Lavigne promotes Over the Hedge.
Woo! I just love that she voiced a little possum.
And she says, I play the role of Heather, who is... I'm just thinking about the way that she says all this, and she's so, like, quiet, and, like, she doesn't, like... She just seems like she's uncomfortable during all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I play the role of Heather, who is a possum, and she's a teenager. She gets embarrassed by her dad a lot. She has a bit of an attitude, and I mean, she seems like she's a cool chick, you know? She...
The way that she uses the word chick all the time, I've never heard anyone say that.
I feel like it's something my dad would say.
Right. It does feel like of a time that is not ours. So it is funny to hear someone who is not our contemporary, but she's like close enough to being our contemporary.
Right. Yes, 1,000%. Like, we're all millennials. We're all of the right. same generation.
It's true. I don't... sound off in the comments if you've heard someone say chick, just, like, seriously.
Should I make that the, like, poll question? Yeah. Nobody asks, or nobody answers our little, like, questions on Spotify.
Yeah, these assholes, honestly. My antagonistic relationship with the audience continues.
audience, you can get out of this antagonistic relationship with May if you just do
I'll lift a finger for once, do the bare minimum. You're just like Avril.
Oof, Avril, do something, 2024.
Please.
So then she says, at the time, I had just decided that I wanted to start acting, and when the offer came in to do this film, I thought it was going to be great and exciting because it's an animated film, so I came in not really knowing what to expect, and I had a blast. Everyone that I worked with was like, you know, and that's how it ends.
Everybody I worked with was like, you know, and I do.
I also think it's just funny, the phrasing of it, where she says, like, I wanted to get into acting, and this offer came through, and I thought it was going to be great and exciting, which sounds, when I read it, and it's not the way that she says it, but when I read it without listening to her, it sounds like she's like, I thought it was going to be great and exciting, and it sucked.
It's true.
So that's a super wild interview. Also, it's honestly really a different personality than a lot of the interviews we've seen. Like, I feel like maybe she had Lyme disease at the time. I don't think that that's the right timeline, but she just, like, in the Let Go interview and then, like, in interviews more recently, she's got some level of energy. And in this one, she is, like, so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wonder if she's kind of embarrassed. Like, she obviously is in other interviews saying, like, I've never called myself a punk, I've never called myself a this. But she does want to be considered at least edgy and cool.
Yes.
If not specifically punk.
I mean, everyone wants to be cool in whatever they've decided cool is. But...
Right, and then her specific brand of cool is, like, this edgy version of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you play an animated possum. And it doesn't fit so well into the edgy, please take me seriously, I'm a real punk kind of vibe.
There's only one comment I want to read on this YouTube video. Someone posted, fun fact, Avril Lavigne is Adam Levine's daughter. And she spells Levine like Avril both times, even though that is not how Adam Levine spells his name.
Awesome.
And then somebody comments, considering they're only 4.5 years apart in age, come from different countries, and have different surnames, explain to me how that's possible.
Adoption exists. Okay. God, that's ignorant.
Very funny.
I want to spread, honestly, screw the Melissa conspiracy theory. I'm spreading the conspiracy theory that Adam Levine legally adopted Avril. Prove me wrong. Show me the documents that say that didn't happen.
You can't prove it. That's very good. I'm still going with the conspiracy theory, and I said this to people on my trip to Spain, and I pulled out the receipts of the TikTok video. That I believe there is a real Avril, and she is alive and well, and she's doing great, and she exists, and she does all her touring and whatever, but when there are things that she doesn't want to do, she has backup Avrils.
Yes.
And I think maybe one of those backup Avrils is the one that did this Over the Hedge interview, and that's why they're so uncomfortable, because maybe it's their first time being Avril, and they're scared they're going to fuck it up.
Alternatively, this interview is the moment that she said, I need some backup Avrils.
I can't keep doing this.
Yes.
And then lastly, I want to pull up the interview that she did on Ellen, which I've talked about before. And I just want to go down to the moment where... So first I'm going to say, she says, this was about Love Sucks. She says, this album is like, it's like a pop punk record. It's rock and roll. It's super fun. Avril. Those are not the same thing.
She needs to learn. When will you learn?
She also did this with the song Rock and Roll. Like, right. That one's more about, she's saying, like, we're a vibe, we're a rock and roll vibe. But, like, I think she thinks pop punk and rock and roll are the same genre.
Yes.
And granted, could I tell you what the difference is? No, but that's because I'm a stupid little American. Like, you should know better, Avril.
Yeah, you really should.
So then Ellen says, I have to ask about your boyfriend and his tattoos. So this is about Modson.
Go back.
And she says, I know he has a tattoo of your name on his neck. And he has, from what I read, 60 tattoos, probably more than that. But the one on his neck, yeah, it's pretty big. Or this is Avril saying. It's the one on his neck is pretty big. He really went for it. He really committed. And Ellen, Ellen says, do you have any tattoos? Avril says, I have a couple. I feel like she has more than a couple tattoos.
Yeah.
And Ellen says, do you have his name tattooed on you? And Avril says, not yet. And Ellen says, but you're going to do it? And Avril says, probably. And Ellen says, all right, let's get the tattoo artist out here, which does not exist. She did not actually have a tattoo artist. But Avril was, like, ready to fucking go. She was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get Bodson's name tattooed on me. And then yeah. She brutally dumped him via tabloid.
Yeah, I mean, she's just cool like that. She just goes with the flow and she's a chill chick.
I think that she needs to think a little bit more about the decisions that she makes and the repercussions that they have on other human beings.
Like, certainly the repercussions on other human beings. I don't care if she wants to take this laissez-faire attitude for herself, but don't be dumping people via tabloid.
And... as an example of a repercussion that her actions have on other people, if she, keeps not doing anything, we have nothing to talk about on this podcast, and that is a terrible repercussion.
And I am, once again, in a full rage about it, as you can tell from my tone of voice.
You should be. So, yeah, that's, all the, I mean, I also pulled up the Kelly Clarkson interview, but there wasn't really anything there. I didn't really have a good time watching it, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Get both of their asses. It's funny because you're a fan of both those women.
Yeah, I love both of them. It just wasn't that interesting of an... I mean, maybe it would have been an interesting interview when I watched it, when Bite Me came out. Now I'm over it. I'm not over Bite Me. I'm just like, I don't need to see more press about it unless you're going to say something really interesting.
Yeah, and I don't want to watch the weird dentist video again.
I think it's so funny... when people, because Kelly Clarkson starts this interview and she is like, oh, I saw the Bite Me music video. And like, I was like, oh my God, you haven't aged at all. You look exactly the same. And she's referring to the actual Bite Me music video, not the Bite Me acoustic music video. But I need more people to have seen the Bite Me acoustic music video. Like, I just need more people to understand that that exists. And that was something that Avril thought was a good idea to make and put on the internet.
Right. And there's a whole team behind it.
Yeah. Didn't Bodson direct it?
Oh, of course he did. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, he sucks. And we don't like him. Sorry if you're a Bodson fan.
We do feel bad for the circumstances of the breakup, unless she tried to break up with him before that and he refused.
Right, right. We do have our very important theory.
Recap on our theory
that she attempted to break up with him and he said no, and she said, I don't know what to do with that, I'm just gonna be like broken up with you, and he was like, wait, what?
You mean you can't unilaterally keep a relationship together?
I mean, we've all been there. I tried to break up with my ex-girlfriend in college one time and she didn't let me, and we stayed together for 2 more months.
Wow.
Yeah. In my defense, I was 20 and had never broken up with anybody, and I didn't know how, and I hadn't expected to, was the other thing, is that, like, I guess we've got a little bit of time to kill, so I will just tell this story. So I was dating this person in college for a year. It's the only relationship I've ever been in, but now I look back on it and I'm like, I think that maybe I don't actually like women, I don't know, or I definitely didn't, I don't know if I, like, didn't really like having sex with women, or I didn't like having sex with her. I did like having sex though, so there's like, there's some confusion there. Anyway, she and I were inherently not compatible, but that was fine with me at the time because I was like, well, I want to have sex, and I'm getting a little old for this. And it was a college relationship, like, it was never going to last forever. And then, we go through something very bad, which is that, she was an immigrant and her visa expired and she had to go back to her home country and try to get a new visa, and that visa was denied. So we were separated for, like, 2 months, which we weren't really anticipating, being separated for. And she, eventually, like, decides to get a master's degree. She comes back on a student visa. But in those 2 months, I got over it. After the first month, I was like, you know what? If when she had left been a breakup, this is the point where I would now be over it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still together. And I was like, well, maybe I will, like, feel it again. Maybe I will, like, start to like her again. And so I kind of, like, waited for a little bit, and we kept dating. So I was like, I also very much, and this is, like, a bad thing on me, just being a bad person, was that I felt like, and I still do kind of think this, that in order to be a real relationship, it has to last at least a year. And so I was like, well, we're really close to that year mark. So I'll just keep going.
That's so funny.
And she still liked me, and she could feel that I was pulling away. And there was one night where I invited her over, and we were just, like, watching a movie on my laptop. And then I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and she was looking through my texts on my laptop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I, to this day, don't really know if she, like, thought there was something, like, specific, like, a specific person that I was texting that was, like, coming between us, or if she was just trying to, like, look through and see what I had said to my friends, maybe. I don't know.
Either way, don't do that.
No, either way, don't do that. And I do think that, like, on the... I mean, people, when I say that story, like, often are like, oh, my God, that's so terrible. It's the worst thing. And, like, I honestly don't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing. I do get it. And especially when you're young. I think it's not healthy, but, you know.
No, like, because that's the thing is, I'm like, you shouldn't, like, feel the need to go through your partner's texts. Like, that's what it should be. So I don't really, like, because, I don't know, what would I have been saying in my texts, you know?
Right.
Like, for it to be so bad for her. Like, if I'm saying something so bad that, like, it's such a breach of trust for her to look at it, then it's like, I'm doing something not right also. Anyway, yeah. It was just like a weird, like, she shouldn't have been doing that. And like, just talk to me, like, have a conversation. I was like, okay. Well, actually I ignore it at first and we keep watching the movie. And then, like, she's being weird. So then I was like, okay, you looked at my texts, like, what? And then in the conversation, I'm like, okay, like, we should break up. And she, like, immediately is like, what? No, no, of course not. Well, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, clearly we're not doing well. Like, let's just end it. And she's like, no, 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 but, like, we know it's not going to be forever, so we might as well just keep going.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how to argue with that. So, okay.
That's really funny.
So then we just kept dating.
All right.
Yeah, and then I got more and more unhappy, and eventually I was like, okay, this needs to be over. And I broke up with her, and I was, like, kind of mean about it, because I was like, stop fighting me on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the story of the only time I've ever broken up with someone.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out her.
I hope not. I hope she's not listening to this.
That would be wild. Hey, if you're her and you're listening... why would you do this to yourself?
Yeah, it's a really, really weird way to spend your time.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Alrighty. That's it. Did we do it?
I think we did it.
Did we make an 8th season of the podcast? What more can I say? Skater Boy Fancast?
We really did.
And are we going to make a 9th season?
Yeah.
You paused a little too long there.
It was because I was trying to close a window on my computer.
Sure. You said the yeah so enthusiastically that I was like, oh, the pause didn't matter. The pause wasn't part of that sentence. But
that's true.
For a second, I was like, oh no, she's pausing a really long time.
I was like, I don't know.
You have a massive iced tea.
I do.
It's also 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's a caffeinated iced tea.
Of course. It was funny. I took my baby to the pediatrician today for a well baby visit. And her pediatrician was like, oh, you're an attorney, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, so you and I have a lot in common. We drink too much coffee. And I was like, uh-huh.
Did your baby sleep the night yet?
She pretty much does, as much as a 4-month-old will. She wakes up like once a night.
Mm. I was sleeping the night at 4 months, but... then my mom always says I'm an exceptional sleeper. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that if I don't always sleep the night as an adult, then how can I expect my 4-month-old to?
Well, that's the thing, is I slept much better as a 4-month-old than I do as an adult. Much better. There was even, like, I rarely woke up in the middle of the night as a child. It was, like, super, super rare, to the point where, like, it was significant the first time that I, like, woke my parents up because I was awake in the middle of the night. My mom was like, this has literally never happened.
Were you telling them that you threw up?
Probably. Probably. I don't remember, but that sounds right.
That meme cracks me up so much, and it will be my reality soon enough.
Yeah, and that sucks for you.
I know. That's, like, a really, like, a genuine major downside to having kids is that you suddenly have all the kid illnesses again.
Yes.
Like, once your child is out in the world, they're picking up all kinds of nasty
all the nonsense germs
that you would not have gotten.
All the germs. They have no immune system to fight it out, so they just get it, and they just give it to you.
Yep.
And there's so much viral load because you live with them.
Yep. It's so true. Can't wait.
Alrighty. Well, this has been another episode of What More Can I Say? Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious?